Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today. Looking forward to this broadcast with you as our guest. Let me remind you that you as our guest can participate in this broadcast by dialing 831-0917. 831-0917. Get your telephone call directed through to the studios and right to our microphone so that we can have dialogue and discussion on the issue. We're going to be talking about signs of the times. What we're seeing, ladies and gentlemen, today in the hurricane and other major weather events, catastrophic as they may be, as we're watching the increase and the major increase with the shootings and other things, and yet the major decrease on morals and ethics and values, we're watching the signs of the times. We'll be talking about several of those signs today, including the weather, including what we're finding going towards socialism as a nation, including that which we see in relationship to the LGBTQ agenda in our schools and the Islamic jihadist agenda in our schools, as well as the total undermining of our Bill of Rights. That is the basic overview of what we're going to do. We'll have an elongated monologue, and then we'll get into the dialogue and discussion. The telephones are open for your call, for you to join in the dialogue and discussion. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's my delight each day to come to you at this time and talk about these issues openly, confrontively, and with absolute insight and wisdom as to what is taking place based on the authority of the Scripture. It's not a matter of my philosophy or feeling. I don't have an ideological bent. I do have a biblical worldview, and in a biblical worldview, we simply go to the Word of God as our source book for the answers and for the direction in life as we see it today. Ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God is the truth book. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then in John 17:17, Jesus made a very bold statement, very profound statement. A statement that ought to be analyzed and looked at and recognized by every human being. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God, the Bible, is the truth book. As we turn the pages from Genesis through to the book of the Revelation, God gives us insight and wisdom. It's not earthly wisdom, it's divine heavenly wisdom. Earthly wisdom is demonic and devilish, the Scripture says. Heavenly wisdom comes from above. It is the wisdom that God gives us through studying the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. So let me commend the book to you called the Bible. No, it's not the Quran. No, it's not other source books. It is simply the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is the Bible. Contrary to what many are saying today, including the Pope, that saying the Bible is out of date, needs to be rewritten. We have those today that are saying that the Lord's Prayer needs to be rewritten. That, again, is the Pope. We have those today that are saying that you don't need to look to the Ten Commandments because they're not relevant to the Christians today, as Andy Stanley is saying. But, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand we cannot denigrate and dilute and destroy. We cannot take a penknife and cut those parts of the Scripture out that we don't like or we don't think should be applied today. It is God's Word, the totality of it, from Genesis through the Revelation text. And ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, it is the Word of God, it is the truth, and as we face the issues, we do so with a biblical worldview. Let me encourage you today, even in the shadow of the storm, that we still need to hang tight, hold on to the Word of God, and trust the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to tell you today that this portion of the broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals that are looking for their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner, including brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries hurricane preparedness equipment, including all of the generators, the Honda generators in particular, with the knowledge, a full staff of knowledgeable people that can answer all your questions in relationship to generators and backup equipment during the hurricane season. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Tools for Time. Look them up on the website, toolsfortime.com. That's toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be in prayer for all of the families in the Bahamas. The latest report is that five died as a result of the hurricane spinning over them for some 48 hours. Millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of damage. In fact, I've seen some of the brief video clips, video footage that's been posted on social media and Twitter and other places that just shows absolute devastation for the folks there in the Bahamas, over all of the islands there. That's the hurricane, Hurricane Category 5, at about 3 miles an hour going forward, stood over those islands for about 48 hours, leaving catastrophic damage. Dorian at a Cat 4 with winds about 140 miles an hour, now moving north off the eastern seaboard at, I think the latest this morning's news showed that going about 3-4 miles an hour, it's just moved from its standstill stage. And ladies and gentlemen, the weather forecasters tell us that it's going to affect the coast of Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, and beyond. And so nobody's out of the woods yet, as the old cliche goes. We're watching, ladies and gentlemen, what I call the fulfillment of biblical text, fulfillment of the scripture. Because the scripture tells us, as of one thing, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and following, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unnatural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Ladies and gentlemen, then in Matthew chapter 24, by the way, Matthew 24, 25, two of the greatest texts in the scripture, in the New Testament in particular, dealing with the future tense, eschatological truth, and understand that the rapture of the church is the next thing on the calendar of God. There are no signs that need to be fulfilled for that. But there are multitudinous of signs that tell us what's going to take place during the days of the tribulation, what's going to take place after the church is raptured out, what will take place before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. From a dispensational standpoint, we need to understand we're now living in the day of grace, but that day of grace is going to end, and I believe it's going to end very soon with the rapture of the church. But ladies and gentlemen, the scripture says that some of those signs that we can see that indicates what is taking place and where we're going. In Matthew chapter 24, for example, and I'm going to pick up with about verse 6, and you shall hear wars and rumors of wars, see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes, and diverse places. And all these things are only the beginning of sorrows. And then, ladies and gentlemen, a corollary text to that is in Luke 21, verse 10 and 11. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Listen to verse 11. And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, famines, pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, we're finding an intensification of the earthquakes and hailstones. In fact, I was reading an article just a few days ago, and I believe it was in Oregon or someplace out there on the left coast, that hailstones were falling, and it had pictures of it covering the ground like snow, and had a tape measure beside one of them showing the hailstones about 2 inches. Well, ladies and gentlemen, during the days of the tribulation, according to my Bible and the Revelation text, hailstones will be falling about 100 pounds each. And yet man, rather than obeying God and worshiping God and turning to God, will stand and shake their fist at God and curse God, according to the Revelation text. So what we're watching, ladies and gentlemen, that I want us to understand, don't want you to be horrified, terrified, or in any way discouraged when we see these things taking place. Had an individual that was interviewed by way of one of the television weather media channel representatives. And that individual said that, well, he'd lived in Florida, and I believe it was in Stuart, Florida, and he said, I've been here for several years, and this is intensifying. He said, all we can do is continue to be prepared and ready. But ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing, I believe this is the fifth or the fourth year in a row that we've had Cat 5 hurricanes that have come out of the Atlantic. I believe it's the fourth or fifth of these that have come out of the Atlantic and coming against the mainland. And it's a matter of the signs of the times. I believe when God is doing this, God is saying, I want your attention. God is saying, look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. I believe God is saying to a wretched, sinful nation, God is saying to us that I'm still in control. I'm still on the throne. I'm still the one that operates. It is not Mother Nature. It is Father God. And Father God is the one we need to look to. And yet we hear the weather forecasters talk about Mother Nature and what Mother Nature is doing and how horrific it is. And it is. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that the winds and the waves are under the control of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is the one that controls them. In fact, a favorite text of mine in relationship to the storm is found in Mark chapter 4. And verses 35 through 41. I'll not take the time to read those verses, but simply put, Jesus gets into a boat. He puts his disciples in the boat. And when he get out in the midst of the Sea of Galilee, and by the way, in the Sea of Galilee, they tell us that based on the mountainous terrain on the sides of it, that there can be still calm waves, still calm water on the glassy Sea of Galilee. And then all of a sudden, at the twinkle of an eye, the spark of the moment, all of a sudden can be horrific storms and waves that are tremendous on the Sea of Galilee. As the winds come swirling down off the mountaintops and over the sea, and as a result of that, it was a great storm. And in that great storm, according to the scripture, there was a great storm of wind, the scripture says. The waves beat upon the ship, so the ship was now full. So as I put it, the winds are blowing, the waves are beating, the water is brimming into the boat. And the disciples think, surely we're going to drown. Surely our boat's going to capsize and we're going to drown. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, there are two or three things we need to think about in that text that I'm talking about now, just in a cursory fashion. Mark's Gospel, the fourth chapter, verse 35 and following. If Jesus Christ is God, and he is, then surely Jesus Christ, God come in the flesh, knew what was going to take place with the weather. How did he know that? Because he is the controller of the winds and the waves. It is Jesus Christ, God incarnate, that is the creator controller of the winds and the waves. And so here's Jesus down in the bow of the boat, sound asleep. The disciples are petrified. They're thinking, we're going to die. And they rush down to find Jesus. The scripture says in the 38th verse, and he, that is Jesus, was asleep on a pillow. Jesus, not worried about the wind and the waves. Jesus, the controller and the creator of the winds and the waves, is sound asleep. And the question that begs to be asked, does that mean he doesn't care? Does that mean he's not aware? Does that mean that he is not in control? Not on your life. And so I say that, ladies and gentlemen, in view of what we're faced with up and down the eastern seaboard with the hurricane that is out off the coast as I speak. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, God's in control of that. He's not asleep. He simply wants us to recognize that he is in control, and wants us to recognize and reverence him. In the scripture then, in the 38th verse of the latter portion, and they, speaking to the disciples, they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They're saying, Jesus, aren't you concerned that we're about to drown? Aren't you concerned that this horrible weather is about to kill us? Aren't you concerned, if you put it in the vernacular for today, aren't you concerned, Lord, about the hurricane? Aren't you concerned about the potentiality of the harm and the danger, the damage, and perhaps even the death and the destruction that could take place? And oftentimes, that is the way we feel as human beings. But the disciples, even though they'd seen him walk on water, they'd seen him heal the blind, they'd seen him in the healing of the deaf and the raising of the dead, they still did not have the faith. And so Jesus Christ, God incarnate, is teaching them to faith him. And may I say, I believe that's what God is doing even today. He is teaching us to faith him, to trust him, to reverence him, to notice and recognize him. In the 39th verse, the scripture says, and he arose, that's speaking of Jesus, and rebuked the wind, and the waves ceased, and the wind ceased, and there was great calm. Jesus has the power over the winds and the waves. He is the one that's in full control of all that comes into your life and in my life. So we need not be frightened or fearful in relationship to that. Jesus asked a probing question to the disciples in that fourth chapter of Matthew and Mark, the 35th through the 41st verse. It's a very probing question that he asked. Verse 40, he says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? He didn't say little faith or some faith. He said no faith. And ladies and gentlemen, I happen to believe every word in the Bible. I believe it is God ordained. I believe every word in the scripture God placed there because of his perfect control. I believe that God put every word there that he wants us to understand. And he says to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Remember, these are Jesus' disciples. They had watched him heal the sick, watched him raise the dead, watched him walk on water. They had watched him cast out the demons. And every believer, we need to recognize our faith can become so weak in the midst of a storm. And Jesus wants to know, why are you so fearful? Why you have no faith? Then in verse 41, they feared exceedingly. Literally, they were rebuked for their lack of faith. Jesus challenged them to greater faith. They were embarrassed. They cowered before him. They fell down in reverence before him. And they absolutely witnessed for him. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? They feared him exceedingly. They worshiped him. They witnessed for him. They said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to give us that little brief Bible study text so that it would give you some calmness and encouragement to be assured that Jesus Christ is not asleep, that the Lord Jesus Christ is in full control. He absolutely is familiar with what is taking place. He hadn't gone to sleep. He's not on some colonnade rocking in some colonnade front porch of heaven with on a rocking chair and a rocking chair and has no control. He is in total control. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me encourage you with the fact that Jesus Christ is still in control. So when we see these storms intensify in size and in number in the last days, we need to understand God is saying, I want your attention. God is saying, look up. I want you to recognize that I'm the one that's in control, not Mother Earth, not Mother Nature, but Father God is the one that's in control. But ladies and gentlemen, we also have to recognize that we are facing the enemy of every conservative and every Christian on a world scale today. The world system is rapidly, openly, and with greater and greater intensity standing against all that is morality, all that is ethical, all that is honorable, and all that pleases God. We're watching that take place today. And that's part of the text when the scripture tells us that we need to recognize in the last days that perilous times shall come. That word perilous means dangerous, dark, devastating, difficult, destructive. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching those days in the era in which we're living at this very hour. We're watching that, ladies and gentlemen. We see that on just about every level. In our schools today, kindergarten through high school, we're watching as the, and also on the college and university levels, as the teachers and the professors are somehow brainwashing our children and our grandkids. In fact, I just read an article recently, Dr. Richard Land. He's the former ethics head of the ethics department of the Southern Baptist Convention. He's now retired from that. I believe he is the president of a seminary in the, I believe it's in North Carolina or some part of the Northeast. And Dr. Richard Land said this: our educational system is brainwashing, is a system of brainwashing, teaching our kids socialism. Further, he stated, quote, all the professors are hardcore leftists. If you are listening to your teacher and professor, you will be a socialist, end quote. Now, why should I be concerned about socialism in America today, coming through our educational academic system, grade school through high school and through the universities? It's simply because under socialism, socialism is just communism light, L-I-T-E, and under socialism, anything that's called morals and ethics and values and religious freedom and religious liberties and ministry and church and the Word of God are all absolutely abandoned. They're jettisoned, with no more value than a stick on the side of the street. Socialism has never worked, ladies and gentlemen, anywhere that it, and any time in all of history that it's ever been attempted. Here's an article that says, school fails a Christian girl for not saying her Islamic prayers. She fights back. Ladies and gentlemen, you think, well, why is this so relevant? Because under the socialistic system and the social justice agenda, our schools have turned into an incubator of brainwashing our students, brainwashing them into several categories, and Islam is one of them. And this one says, school fails Christian girl for not saying Islamic prayers, and she fights back. When a Maryland school required a student to affirm the Islamic prayer declaring Allah is the only God, by the way, the ladies and gentlemen, it's called the Shahada, and the Shahada is the Islamic prayer where you're declaring that Allah is one God and Muhammad is his prophet. It is the conversion prayer. By praying that prayer, repeating the Shahada, you're converting from any other religious denomination or Christian faith to Islam. And this girl, this article says, when a Maryland school required students to affirm the Islamic prayer declaring Allah is the only God, a Christian girl was given a zero for the course because she refused to violate her faith. However, instead of taking her failing grade, she decided to fight back. The curriculum made multiple implications that could have been straight out of an imam's sermon. This is two or three points. Most Muslims' faith is stronger than the average Christian. This is what they're teaching, and this girl refused to adhere to. Secondly, Islam at the heart is a peaceful religion. Ladies and gentlemen, I had the privilege of authoring a book a few years back, 325 pages, about 25 chapters. And in that, I prove from the Quran that Islam is not a tolerant religion. It is the most ungodly, unholy, wicked, evil religion on the face of the globe today. And yet it is being taught in our schools. It is part of the persuasion in our classrooms by the leftist professors that are brainwashing our students. This article goes on to say, jihad is a personal struggle, devotion in Islam, especially involving Christian discipline, spiritual discipline. Ladies and gentlemen, that's an absolute bona fide lie based on the authority of what the Quran says. This article further says, to Muslims, Allah is the supreme God that is worshipped in Christianity and in Judaism. Allah is not God. In fact, in the Quran, they make fun of Christians. They say that Allah didn't have a wife, therefore how could he have a son, and therefore Jesus Christ is not God's son, and they repudiate and reject the Christian faith in believing that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. This article goes on to say, men are the managers of the affairs of women, and righteous women are therefore to be obedient to Islamic husbands. And ladies and gentlemen, that is simply untrue biblically. But that is what is practiced in Islam today. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, this particular student did the right thing by taking a stand and saying, I'm not going to bow, I'm not going to bend, even though I might get a failing grade on the subject. Here's an article that says, schools forced nurse to help with abortion against her will. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the signs of the last days, which are perilous. We're talking about the signs of the times. And as we see these signs, we're seeing Christian persecution on a major, major scale. We're seeing socialism being absolutely pushed on a national and global scale. We're watching students in our schools from kindergarten through university level being brainwashed and coming out of those schools and even in the schools brainwashed as to what the Word of God says and rejecting the authority of the Scripture, rejecting mom and dad's teachings about Christ in the home, perhaps, and multitudes are believing the devil's lie and coming out of these academic systems that are nothing being taught about academia. This article says, school forced a nurse, to help with abortion against their will. The federal government has issued a notice to the University of Vermont Medical Center that it must stop forcing nurses to participate in abortions in violation of their religious beliefs or lose federal funding. I say, kudos for that. The center forced a nurse to participate in an abortion even after she had registered her conscience-based objections as a Christian and said she did not want to participate. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a movement today in America, if you've not noticed it, a movement today in America to force Christians to bow and to bend and to accept and to accommodate and to embrace everything that's immoral, unholy, ungodly, and against the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that we are in the last days. We're watching the signs of the last days, and the signs, the Scripture says, are perilous times, perilous times. Here's an article that says majority of youth support transgender bathroom rights, according to a poll. Ann Arbor, Michigan. The subject of the bathroom policy in relation to gender identity is a hot-button topic in American culture today. Now a new poll finds that 8 in 10, that's 79% of the young people between the ages of 14 and 24, believe that transgender individuals should use whichever bathroom they are most comfortable with. The new poll conducted by the University of Michigan is especially interesting because it highlights a clear disparity of opinion between the adolescents or young adults and older Americans on the subject of transgender bathroom rights. For example, a different poll consisting of 1,017 Americans aged 18 or older found that 51% of the respondents believe that transgender individuals should use the bathrooms that correspond with their gender they were assigned with at birth. Contrary to a current policy in many schools, the young people we polled do not support restrictions on bathroom use by transgender people. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the epitome of where we are with the ethics and the morals and values because of what is being brainwashed by the professors in our public school system. I believe I have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Good to be on there with you this morning. I'm kind of wondering, what do you say to the pastor that looks at the scripture and comes to the conclusion that all this talk of last days, all this talk of the Lord's day, or in that day that we find in the scripture, those things are all past tense, historical versus eschatological or end times. What do you say to the pastor that's convinced that?
I say the same thing that many people say, that the Bible is just a myth. They're just myth taken, you know. There are a lot of folks that want to just disregard and deny and reject the scripture and want to modify it and change. That goes back to the Garden of Eden where Satan says to Eve, "Hath God said?" It is the focus to demean and disparage and to delude the minds and the hearts of the people in believing that the Word of God is true. What God says is what God means, and God says it. That's the very simplistic side.
In the 24th chapter of Matthew.
We've got about one minute before our break time, so go ahead with your comments.
I'll preface it. Maybe we'll talk a little more about it. In the 20th chapter of Matthew, there are a series of different things that Jesus talks about, basically signs, things that can be looked for as time draws near, as the end draws near. Are there any of those things? Be thinking about it perhaps when we go our break. Are there any of those things that you could say, well, maybe it's confused with this in history versus what seems to be very clear and apparent, that those many of those things have not transpired as of yet, even in year 2019?
We'll pick up with that right after our news break, but ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about is the signs of the times, the last days, and there are several, our caller just talking about several signs that we see in Matthew chapter 24, and we're talking about just one or two of them in today's broadcast, one of them being mainly the weather change. We'll find exponential changes in the weather as time goes by before the church is raptured out, that shall increase. But ladies and gentlemen, hang in there, don't turn your dial. We've got about 1 minute break for our station identification and news. Come right back with Let's Face the Issues in just one moment.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.